Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are in chapter 36. Genesis chapter 36, this is God's word. This is the account of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the women of Canaan, Adah, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibama, daughter of Anah, the granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite, also Basemath, daughter of Ishmael, and sister of Nebaioth. Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, Basemath bore Reuel, and Aholibama bore Jaish, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in Canaan. Esau took his wives and sons and daughters and all the members of his household, as well as his livestock and all his other animals and all the goods he had acquired in Canaan, and moved to a land some distance from his brother Jacob. Their possessions were too great for them to remain together. The land where they were staying could not support them both because of their livestock. So Esau, that is Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. This is the account of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, son of Esau's wife Adah; Reuel, son of Esau's wife Basemath. Sons of Eliphaz: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Esau's son Eliphaz also had a concubine named Timnah, who bore him Amalek. These were grandsons of Esau's wife Adah. The sons of Reuel: Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah. These were grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Aholibama, daughter of Anah and granddaughter of Zibeon, whom she bore to Esau: Jaish, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs among Esau's descendants. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau: chiefs Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Amalek. These were the chiefs descended from Eliphaz in Edom. They were the grandsons of Adah. The sons of Esau's son Reuel: chiefs Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah. These were the chiefs descended from Reuel in Edom. They were grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Aholibama: chiefs Jaish, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs descended from Esau's wife Aholibama, daughter of Anah. These were the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seir, the Horite, who were living in the region: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These sons of Seir and Edom were Horite chiefs. The sons of Lotan: Hori and Homam. Timnah was Lotan's sister. The sons of Shobal: Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon: Aiah and Anah. This is the Anah who discovered the hot springs in the desert while he was grazing the donkeys of his father Zibeon. The children of Anah: Dishan and Aholibama, daughter of Anah. The sons of Dishan: Hemdan, Eshban, Ethran, and Kiran. the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zaphan, and Achan, the sons of Dishan, Uz, and Aaron. These were the Horite chiefs, Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Ana, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These were the Horite chiefs according to their divisions in the land of Seir. These were the kings who reigned in Edom before any Israelite king reigned. Bela, son of Beor, became king of Edom. His city was named Dinhaba. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah from Bozrah, succeeded him as king. When Jobab died, Husham, from the land of the Temnites, succeeded him as king. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, succeeded him as king. His city was named Avith. When Hadad died, Samla from Masrekah succeeded him as king. When Samla died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, succeeded him as king. When Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, died, Hadad succeeded him as king. His city was named Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, daughter of Matred, the daughter of Me-Zahab. These were the chiefs descended from Esau by name according to their clans and regions: Timnah, Alva, Japheth, Aholibama, Elah, Pinan, Kenaz, Teman, Mibzar, Magdael, and Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom according to their settlements in the land they occupied. This was Esau, the father of the Edomites. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Don't you love genealogies? I mean, you come to my house, you're walking into a museum of genealogy. There in the foyer, we have the chart tracing back some of my ancestors. It's a very selective chart. And it's really fun because it goes all the way back to the 200s. And that's a long time ago. And it's accurate. My wife has been doing all kinds of research that verifies that back before the internet, my father's cousin who created that chart actually was a very good scholar, Princeton educated, and wealthy enough to travel the world and go to cemeteries and libraries and search through all kinds of records. And by golly, I am related to all those people. Well, of course, I'm also related to all of you because we're all related. We all go back to Noah. And before that, all the way back to Adam. So we're kin. We're family. But sometimes it's nice to look at kind of how we got here. One of my wife's favorite shows is the one with Dr. Gates, where he brings in celebrities and shows them the result of the research, identifying who their ancestors are. And there are some fascinating stories in that thing. My wife said the other day, I think he's a Christian. Not because he's into genealogy, but because of some of the stories that he highlights as he's taking these people through their ancestry. When we look at the genealogies in Scripture, what's the point? Well, there are actually many lessons to be learned, and it depends on which particular genealogical passage we're looking at as to what lessons we might draw. As you know, every year I want you all to look at the first part of Matthew's gospel and see the way that certain women were highlighted in that telling of Jesus' father Joseph's ancestry, because it demonstrates, as you trace the royal line, that we needed a savior because we're all a bunch of sinners. And that was the reason why the Holy Spirit caused Matthew to highlight certain women. He didn't list all the women. He listed certain ones, and it was the most embarrassing stories. Okay? Whether you're talking about Tamar or whoever, it's like, do we have to turn a spotlight on that? Yes. Because we need to see that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what we desperately need is a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. Okay, so where is the person in this chapter through whom we get the Messiah? Not in there. Not in there. Jesus didn't come from Esau's line. Jesus came through Jacob's line. Well, then, what's the point in identifying these people if they're not part of this line and story of redemption? Oh, they are part of the story of redemption. They're just not part of the line through whom God brought Messiah. Well, what do you mean they're part of the story of redemption? Well, these are humans, and their life matters because God says so. Your life matters because God says so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever trusts in him will not be destroyed, but will have everlasting life. So God cares about people? Yes. Well, there's a whole lot of stuff in the Old Testament about people being wiped out. I mean, think about the flood, for example. Yeah? Well, I mean, why would God end people's lives in a flood if he cares about people? I'm glad you asked that question. The fact is, the only reason that human life is valuable is because God makes it so. We bear his image and likeness. And God says that human life matters, and that one of the ways that is demonstrated is that certain things that people do with their life causes them to deserve an early death. I've said before, as I've recounted some of the stupid things, including one in particular, a prayer I prayed when I was a teenager. And looking back, it is amazing to me that God didn't just turn me into a pile of ash as I knelt at the foot of my bed praying. I mean, I'm telling God, after I disobeyed him, he told me to share the gospel with this kid, and I didn't. And then when I go to have my devotions that night, it's like, okay, and if you wanted me to share the gospel with that kid, I'm sorry that I didn't do it. But if you want me to share with him, then when I go down to the Barker's house tomorrow, he needs to already be there. And I'm not going to start up a conversation with him. You need to cause him to speak to me first. And I'm not going to turn the conversation to spiritual things. He's going to have to do that. And God, the holy God who rules the universe, said, oh, this is frustrating, but if that's what I have to do, I'll do it, because you're the only person on the planet who could possibly share the gospel with that kid. That's not what God said. God said, no problem. By the time that boy who was there at the Barkers when I went down there and who spoke to me as I walked into view, had turned the conversation from talking about mini bikes to say, I'm sorry to change the subject, but how can I be born again? I cried because I was astounded that God would give me the privilege of sharing the gospel with this kid when I was such a complete unworthy jerk. Why would God put up with somebody like that? Because he is amazingly kind and merciful. You're kind of off the subject here. What about all these people? I'm not off the subject. All of these people are people. And God is the judge of all mankind. You read the list of all these people, and it talks about this one descended from this one, this one descended from this one, this one descended from this one. And then you get to the rulers of Edom down in verse 31. It's already talked about the chiefs and so forth, a bunch of them being chiefs. But then beginning in verse 31, it says, these were the kings who reigned in Edom before any Israelite king reigned. Okay? So in other words, before Israel had kings, these guys were already kings. And then it's in that section where you begin hearing about all of them dying. Why? Because we need to be reminded once again that doesn't matter whether or not you're the king, you're going to die. Doesn't matter who your kids are as to whether or not you're going to die, you're going to die. Tells about accomplishments. His city was named Avith. When Hadad died, Semaiah from Azrika succeeded him as king. When Shema died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. One after another, kings die. Pastor, I wish you'd get off this subject. I used to, in my first church, drive through the town of Chatham where over 90% of the people never went to church. Their parents had never gone to church. Their grandparents had never gone to church. Most of the people in that lovely, picturesque town were completely unchurched. And most of them weren't interested. They just weren't interested. They didn't see a need for it. So they were all just so happy, like the people in Scandinavia? No, they weren't happy. High rate of alcoholism, a lot of drugs. But they didn't see Jesus as being someone they needed. They just lived as if they were going to live forever without thinking about where forever was going to be. And I would drive through that town and I would see all these cemeteries. Tombstone, 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 tombstone. Some of them going back hundreds of years. And I said, God, please cause the people of Chatham to learn from all these silent witnesses that are telling them, you're going to die. You're going to die. Are you ready? Are you prepared for eternity? Famous poet Shelley wrote a famous poem. I want to share it with you because it fits with this. Shelley, by the way, died at age 30, as best I can tell. He said, I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that the sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them, and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of kings, look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Do you understand the poem? He says, I heard about a guy who out in the middle of a desolate desert found the remains of what was once this impressive statue that a king had commissioned as a monument to himself. And the inscription says, I am the King of Kings. Look around and see what I have accomplished and despair. Why despair? Because you'll never be as great as I am. You'll never do the things I've done. You'll never accomplish what I have accomplished. Look on what I've done and despair. And you look, and it's just sand. That's all there is. Where's your confidence? Where's your identity? What are you aiming for in this life? Do you realize that God's the one who says your life matters? Devote yourself to him. Yield your life to him and say, God, you're in charge. It's all yours. I just want to do what you want me to do. And no other accomplishment lasts. I've had the privilege of knowing a whole lot of famous, quote, successful people in my life. And I mean a lot. And they have accomplished significant things. But it comes to an end. All of us die. And then we face God. Are you ready for that? When you are in right relationship with God, you don't have to worry about anything else. God will take care of the finances. God knows what's best as far as your health. What if God decides that I would serve him better by being paraplegic? Well, then serve him. Johnny Erickson Tada is a quadriplegic. She's an accomplished artist who paints holding a brush between her teeth. She also runs a large charitable organization that has helped, I suppose by now, millions of people, either directly or indirectly. She has a broadcast ministry. She's the author of books. She's written songs. And despite her limited breath control, she's sung them. She has a lovely voice. She deals with chronic pain every day. But she's using every day to serve God with everything she has. What are you doing with what you got? You think it's yours? You're going to kind of protect it? Or are you going to say, God, everything I am, everything I have, it's yours. Please, use me as you see fit. You know what's best. I trust you. Thank you for sending Jesus to save me. Thank you for the fact that I will be with you forever. Father, we come before you right now as people who are entirely dependent on you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But we thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We give you praise. Help us, we pray, to believe what you say and to see it's not just the descendants of Jacob who are significant, but it's all the peoples of the earth. And one day, there will be people from every tribe and tongue on the earth gathered around the throne as part of your family forever. Not because any of us deserve it, but because you have chosen to redeem. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood,
www.pastorwood.org.